The title of tonight's message is Yom Teruah, Like the Thief in the Night. Yom Teruah, Like the Thief in the Night. You'll get it in just a minute. Why is that? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul, after giving the discourse in 1 Thessalonians 4, which ends with the sounding of the shofar and where the people get the idea that they're going to be raptured and all those things, that verse. The next verse, the next chapter, it says, now concerning the times and seasons, because everybody wants to know, well, what, when is that going to be? Were the times and the seasons. Brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written to you. Why is that? Because you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. What he's going to explain, that example. We may not like it that he's using an example of a thief in the night to refer to the second coming of Yeshua. We may not like it. We might want to get in here and just, hey, Paul, can you pick a better example? Verse 3, when they are saying shalom and safety, oh, it's all okay, we're going to be all right. I hear that all the time. We're just going to be all right. Sudden destruction comes upon them, like a woman having birth pangs in the womb. And there is no way of escape. Verse 4, I like this one. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark. It's speaking to you in Kol Simcha. You are not in the dark. Okay? So that that day might overtake you like a thief. So that day doesn't have to overtake you like a thief, because you're not in the dark. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night or of darkness. If people read that verse and then read 2 Thessalonians, a lot of the confusion about this in the world would be resolved. You'd think that at this point, he would just say, well, you don't have anything to worry about because you're going to be raptured out of here. So there's nothing to worry about. Well, I'd like to elucidate on this a little bit. In the Brit Hadashah, that is in the New Testament, there are a number of references to a thief in the night. This is not the only one. There's a number of them. In addition to the well-known reference that we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, there are others. Here's, for example, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he's being patient toward you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar, a shout, a teruah, and the elements will melt in disgrace and disintegrate, and the earth and everything done on it shall be exposed. Now, who said that? Second Peter. The Apostle Peter said that. Second Peter, verse chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. So Peter is of the same opinion as Paul, that the coming of the Messiah is like. When something is like something, it doesn't mean it's that. Okay? It has things that appear that you can understand. And then let's go to Revelation. In Revelation, the speaker is none other than Yeshua. The speaker of the book of Revelation is Yeshua. The Apostle John is not putting on verses and sentences out of his own volition. Yeshua appears to him in chapter 1. Okay? And he makes a statement, I am Aleph and Tav. Okay, you say, well, no, it says Alpha and Omega. Well, the last thing I remember is Yeshua was born in Israel. and he spoke Hebrew, not Greek. That's not to say he couldn't have spoken Greek. But if you're going to send them to Greece, why not send them to Puerto Rico? I'll take him. He can learn Spanish. So in Revelation, in chapter 3, which is, Revelation 3 is one of these churches. Which one is it? Well, here it is. To the angel of Messiah's community in Sardis. Was this a good one or a bad one? Okay. If you get all the questions right, there will be extra piece of honey cake. If you don't, then I'll get the piece of honey cake. The angel of the Messiah's community in Sardis write, thus says the one having the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So who is that? Well, in chapter 1, he said, I am the one that has the seven spirits and the seven stars. Okay? But then he said the star is each of the communities. So by implication, that means that those communities are in his hand too. They're in his hand as well. Oh, they're called churches in modern English. But that's not what the Bible actually says. It doesn't say church. It doesn't say ecclesias, whatever the plural is. It says communities. Thus said the one having the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Right away, I don't think this one is doing too well, right? Wake up and strengthen what remains that was about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the light in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard. Keep what you have received and heard. Repent. If you will not wake up, I'll come like a thief. Now, who's speaking here? Is it Paul? Is it Peter? Who's speaking here? Oh, Yeshua uses the example of like a thief. I'll explain what I think why that is in a minute. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. But it doesn't say that you won't know the day. It doesn't say that you will know the time or the seasons. You don't just are not going to know which hour it is. Revelation 3, 1 through 3. Let's continue in Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. He's getting ready to, the angels are being speaking and saying what they're doing, and bow, things are being spilled up, and the horns are being blown, and all kinds of things going on. Okay, here it says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Well, hey, Virginia, do you need to any explanation about this? Is there anything not clear about what he said right here? Because Yeshua is coming like a thief. He says it. He says it. How fortunate is the one who stays alert and keeps his clothes on. That doesn't mean that you sleep in your nakedness, okay? But the example that is here actually has to do with guards that were supposed to keep watch over the fire in the temple. Those night watches are called. And people, because there's nobody around, would lay down sometimes and get looking at the fire. I mean, it does that to me. I look at the fire, and next thing you know, I'm gone. So then, at certain times, the higher priests would come and make a pass. And if they found someone asleep, here's what they would do. They would take a coal from the fire that they're supposed to keep lit all night and put it by their clothes. So, eventually their clothes would catch on fire. Okay? And there's no way to get out of that unless you tear off your clothes. Right? There's not a fire hydrant. There's not a none of that. So they just have to get rid of their clothes. Okay? So notice that what it's saying here, the one who stays alert keeps his clothes on, lest he walk around naked, and they see his shamefulness. And that's what would happen. So he would be shamed enough that the next time he's not going to sleep on duty. In the U.S. Army, if you sleep while you're on guard duty, it's the detail in the Uniform Code of Military Justice that you are to be court-martialed. Is that not correct, Joe? You were in the military. What? It says that if you don't keep your post, they're not going to burn your clothes. They're going to burn your career. You're out. No if, no ands, no buts. You're out. You're out of the military. It doesn't matter what rank you are. You can be an officer. You can be an enlisted man. If you do not keep your post, Gene, is that not correct on the ship? What do they do if you don't do it? Do they throw you overboard? Or actually, the captain of the ship has the right to convene a court-martial. The captain of the ship has as much power as the president of the United States on that ship. Ask Gene. He served. I served in the Army. I didn't want to be in boats. Gene, on the other hand, wanted to be in boats. Thank goodness he was in boats, because there is a port in Jacksonville. And his ship came there, and some pretty thing came over to say hi to him. And he was done. He was done. And to this day, that pretty thing is sitting with him. Because she's from Jacksonville. And he ended up marrying the pretty thing for all these years. Now, the last passage that I read to you is significant, because it says that Yeshua is coming like a thief. So let me ask you a question. Which coming is he talking about? The first one or the second one? The second one. The second one. He's coming like a thief in the second one. Now, Yeshua is not a thief. Okay? But in order for everybody to understand the example, sometimes this is called a similitude or analogy. In order to understand it, he chose something that everybody understands. And everybody understands that if you don't watch for your stuff, if you're not paying attention to your stuff, somebody can come and take it, and you know nothing about it. But if you're awake, and somebody tries to come in and get your stuff, and you go, like in the military, "Halt! What is thou doing there?" This is, Bible talk. It would have been in the Army a little more like common talk. And you have a weapon. And by the way, you know that weapon is actually loaded? When they first handed me the M14 rifle, and I started to look at this, the sergeant said, "Don't mess with it, it's loaded. It's fully loaded." The bullets for the M14 were that big. In other words, if I point that at somebody, they have to assume that it's loaded. And if I pull the trigger, they have to assume that it's all over with. I had some fun with that, by the way. Well, concerning preparations of his return, the Father chooses the concept of surprise. Surprise! Okay? Be surprised over the total unawareness associated with the arrival with the thief in the night. Let me say, you don't stay up all night looking for the thief. Instead, you get cameras and dogs, like big ones. And you put a sign that said, beware of the dog. Right? And you hope that that keeps them away. If that doesn't keep them away and they want to come in your house, then if you live in rural Alachua County, you get out of this city. In rural Alachua County, they tell you, pick up the shotgun and shoot him. That's what the sheriff's department told my wife. Because she called him. There's somebody out there, you know, and said, ma'am, do you have a gun? Do you have, okay. Do you know how to use it? No, well, you better learn. Anything like that happens again, pick up the gun and shoot him. And then we'll talk later. Got it? This is not Democratic or Republican. This is not this is the way it is in our country. Most everybody doesn't live in the cities. They do now. But when the country was being formed, they lived in the country. And they didn't want no bears coming in. And they didn't want no Indians coming in. And they didn't want any marauders coming in. So could they pick up the phone? They pick up the iPhone and let's call 911. Ain't no such thing in the wagon trails. You have to just pick up the gun and ask no questions. No. The best answers come from somebody who's dead. Paul reminds us, however, that you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark. So that the day of the Lord, the day of his return, when he comes back, it won't overtake you like a thief. Paul says that to you. It won't overtake you like a thief. It won't catch you off guard. But do you know that Yom Teruah shares that same description? Well, maybe you didn't. Okay, so let me elucidate. Yom Teruah shares this concept. The concept that Yom Teruah arrives when people are not aware. Okay? In biblical times, the first day of the month was only declared after two witnesses gave testimony of actually seeing the first sliver of the crescent moon. After what's called new moon in the scientific world, a new moon is an invisible moon. You can't see it. What's the point? Okay? The only thing you can see is light. You can't see the dark moon in the dark sky. Not visible. But as soon as it gets even 1% of light in it, and it's on the right-hand side near the bottom, as soon as any of that it shows up, it's visible. That's called the Chodesh in the scripture, the first sliver of the new moon. And that's why people had to see that and report to the Sanhedrin. Two witnesses had to give their name, address, telephone number. There were no telephones, okay? And attest, you know, on their integrity that they saw the moon. If two such witnesses came forth, then the Sanhedrin would declare the moon has been seen. How about a great duh? The moon has been seen. Therefore, this is the first day of the month. Well, what happens if there's clouds? What happens if they can't see it? First of all, they're not just looking every night of the day for the new moon, right? Because the moon goes from getting little nothing to a little bit, and it grows until it's halfway, and then it grows until it's full, then it starts decreasing until it's halfway, until it starts decreasing until it's gone. And that amount of time is 29 and a half days. Exactly 29 and a half days. Okay? So people know if this is the first day of the month, on day 29, you could see the moon. So they start looking on day 29. If they see it, that's the new moon. That's the new month. If they don't see it, because that was day 29 and the next day is 30, would be 30. There are no 30 days, typically. In lunation, it's only 29 and a half. Then the month is declared to be the first of the month. So either you see it, or the next day it is. So how can you predict? How can you predict what the... Oh, let's see, on the 10th day of the next month, I'm going to have a birthday. That's going to be look in the calendar and you count, you know, what days from now and say, oh, it's going to be Thursday, the 4th. Okay, I'm going to have a birthday. And so what happens is they don't see the moon. Then it moves a day and your birthday won't be on what you thought was the 4th. The actual 4th would be what you think is the 5th. Got it? So, only if there were two witnesses that saw the crescent moon would the new month be declared. All of the Hagim, all of the Moadim in Leviticus 23 are in the second or third week of the month. Passover is on the 14th. Then on Unleavened Bread on the 15th to the 21st. And Shavuot comes out to be on or about Sivan 6. Yom Kippur is on 10th day of the 7th month. And Sukkot is 15 to 22 of the 7th month. But there's one that is not that. This one. This one, okay? Yom Teruah takes place on the first evening of the 7th month. So while we are here tonight, if we were in biblical times and don't have a calendar and don't have NASA and don't have the Weather Channel and don't have any of this stuff, we would have to depend on the Sanhedrin saying, somebody saw the moon, therefore that's the first of the month. But if nobody saw it, then tomorrow is the first day of the month. So we all come here. We would all come here and have a good time. And we'd be all set. Ha ha, let's blow the shofar. And no witnesses. And it doesn't get declared. Therefore, there is no Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, there is no Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, there is no Yom Teruah. So unless you watch for the 7th month, unless you a priori know when it actually begins, then you don't know. And if that were the case for you guys, poor you. Because you could have come for nothing. I would have taken the honey cake home and eat it myself. Another way to say this, scientifically speaking, is that there's a one-day uncertainty with respect to the first day of the month. There is a one-day uncertainty. It could be, but maybe it's not. Well, how are you going to know? Well, somebody got to go look for it. All right? Got it? I mean, is that like simple? It really is simple, but it's profound. It's super profound. Because Yeshua said, like a thief in the night, so do I come. And nobody knows the hour. Why don't they know the hour? Because there's only one that knows the weather patterns, and it's not the Weather Channel. There, they don't know nothing. And if you want to be even less reliable, the WCJB one, you find all of those, and they think like they know everything, and you just go, okay, tomorrow's going to rain, so you take your umbrella, and it doesn't rain. And you're in Florida, you say, oh, well, tomorrow's going to be, the temperature's going to be 90. Don't get used to that. Because they'll say something like that next month. And you'll say, okay, it's going to be 90. And the next thing you know, it's 40-some degrees. What do you mean? I've lived in Gainesville a long time. Just want you to know that it can actually get that gum cold in September in the city. And it'll go to 30-something. And then the next day you say, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to wear a coat all day. And what happens is the next day, it starts at 40-something. By 9 o'clock, it's 50-something. By 10 o'clock is 60-something. By 11 o'clock is 70-something. And by midday, it's actually hot. And you go, what is this? What kind of weather is that? And yeah, it's called North Florida. No, it's not Florida. Because all of you that come from South Florida cannot believe it. You come where there are no heaters. There's no such thing as a heater in Miami. You understand what I'm saying? In fact, there used to be no such thing as air conditioning in Miami because it's close to the beach. And there's wind. Okay? I don't want to live there because I got to have my air conditioning so that I can sleep good. Okay? But there is uncertainty. But for you, brothers in Kol Simcha, you're not taken by surprise, are you? Why are you here? Did somebody declare the moon? Is that being done today? What happens is that I guarantee you, somebody here has looked at the Weather Channel. They looked at WCJB. They looked at NASA. They looked at the published calendar. And they looked at it and said, it says right there. It's tonight. There is no uncertainty, or is there? So, do you know for sure that this is the day that Yah Adonai asked us to do? Last year, I asked the question, is it kosher in a biblical feast to scream aloud? I know shout is like screaming, okay? And you say, well, what is the difference? Well, I don't know what the difference is. If my voice gets loud, my wife says, but I am not going to be spoken in that tone of voice. That's what I heard 47 years ago. And I haven't won that war. I lost it every time. Every single time. And she said things like, calm down. I don't need you to blow my ears out. Etc. El Zippo. Why do you El Zippo? Because I want to eat. I want to eat. She actually would cook dinner, but then she'll cook something like a salad or some kind of fish, right? Or Brussels sprouts. Or biscuits with gravy made out of milk and the drippings of sausage. Ask her. She's from Georgia. Ask her. Okay? And then she makes that. And I have to eat that. I'd be skinny. I would be what I used to be when I was in college. I weighed 120 pounds wet. My size pants were 26. I ain't seen those numbers. The first thing she did when we got married said, you don't know how to eat. You're not eating properly because God did not design people to go to the bathroom once a week. Ow. Okay? And so when I was in emergency room and they're doing stuff with my stomach, she stands by me and says, this is 1979. You ain't coming back here again because we're going to change your diet. And I'm standing there like, if I can get out of here and not have to come here again, I'll even obey her. And I learned what roughage is on food. I learned what these things that don't have any caloric value, but they come into the system and they act like little scrubbing bubbles. And I started to have eat and then have contraptions, like I'm going to have a baby, which would remind me that, what am I supposed to do? It's not Saturday. I only go to the bathroom on Saturdays. Okay, so I ended up going to the bathroom. And within a matter of 6 months, I became double regular. Okay? Now, she doesn't want me to talk about that. I want to talk about it. I surely want to talk about it. Because that's us. That's us. We have to get used to what the Lord wants and get out of our bad habits about things. Look, tonight we came because there is an opportunity to absolutely celebrate His holy feast. And we don't have to worry about a Sanhedrin or any of those things, because the community of Israel to whom we are attached to is using a calendar that predicts. It doesn't do all that great a job, according to some people, in predicting. Well, we have a choice. We either mean grafted into Israel, and you can go ahead and be grafted into Tony. See how much did I die on the cross for you for? So we have to, we are doing what we're doing because it's the right thing to do. And as a matter of fact, He provides for us certainty in what we're doing. Look and see if there is not a new moon over Jerusalem tonight. Go open your web browser and type in Google, was the moon sighted in Jerusalem tonight? It happened 7 hours ago, okay? So it's okay. It did 7 hours ahead. And you will find that actually it's true. They did. But even if they didn't, the country, as already said, tonight would be that day. And we're doing things like the country. Do we want to be grafted into Puerto Rico? If that's what you want, I can arrange that. You want to be grafted into Georgia? You want to be grafted into? We're grafted into Israel. That means something. So in Scripture, in Psalm 98, verse 6, it says, with trumpets and the sound of the shofar, blast, make a sound before the King Adonai. That's what it says in English. Well, let me read it to you in Hebrew. The first word is behatzerot, which means to cry out, like when you have great pain. To cry out, behatzerot. Okay? Vekol. Okay? Vekol, shofar. The word kol is the same word as kol simcha, with the sound of the shofar. I don't have to translate that for you. Ha-riu. What is Ha-Riu? Well, we just sang Paul Wilbur's song. Roni, Roni, Bat Zion, Ha-Riu, Israel. Translated, rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, all Israel. So, Bekol Shofar means with the voice of the shofar. This word Ha-Riu means shout in triumph, like in Psalm 47 that we read. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, oh, ye people. That's that word in there, Ha-Riu. Lifnei HaMelech, in the presence of Adonai, before the face of King Adonai. So tonight, being the actual holy day of Yom Teruah, we're going to sound the shofar. We're also going to sound the shofar. We're going to sound the shofar. We're also going to sound the shofar. We're going to do both. Okay? We're going to have a rejoicing at Teruah. The Teruah can be with the shofar, and it will be, and you'll hear it. But that we'll also do Teruah, okay, with our voices. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So what voice is that? It's a shout. It's a loud. It's a happy voice. It's a voice of you're awesome. You're capable. You're fighting for us. And we're going to do that as well. Are you ready? Awesome. The person who's going to help me is Stephen, my son-in-law. Stephen, does it bother you if we're up here? Yeah. Okay. So he can blow, everybody can hear him. Instead of blowing from down here and it's muzzled by this building. This is called a kittel. A kittel is a garment worn by Ashkenazi Jews. It's a garment that represents servanthood. We're serving you. So the father of the home wears this in his home when he does Passover. He also wears it when on Yom Teruah and on Yom Kippur. Okay? The garment is a personal garment. When Ashkenazi Jews are put laid to rest, often they're laid to rest in their kittel. Okay? With their talit wrapped around them. In Judaism, there is no embalming or any of those things. And the caskets have to be made of wood so that they can corrode and the bugs can get their food. So that we return to the earth just like the Bible said for us to do. That's why it's done that way. And usually, within a day and a half, the funeral takes place. There's no waiting. There's no sitting in the thing or in a freezer so that none of that is kosher for Jewish people. Come on. His name is Stephen. His title for tonight is Tokia. And rather than facing this way, we're going to face you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it so much. It's a privilege to have such a person with me. All right? You may want to stand at some point. There's a few verses here, but... Responsive reading. You revealed yourself in a cloud of glory to your people. From the heavens they heard your voice, and you manifested yourself to them in clouds of purity. Causing them to hear your majestic voice. And your holy words from flames of fire and amid thunder and lightning. You revealed yourself to them, and you did shine forth on them as the shofar was sounded. The sound of the shofar grew louder and louder. Moses spoke. And Adonai answered him. God ascended with a shout. Adonai with the sound of the shofar. That was in Psalm 47. We read third time. With trumpets and the sound of the shofar. Raise your joyful voice before the king, the Lord. Tonight. Tonight,
sequía. Shivarim. Teruah. Tekiah.
Praise Adonai, hallelujah. Praise Adonai, his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty expanse. Praise him for his saving deeds. Praise him with string instruments and pipe. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise Adonai. Hallelujah. That's Psalm 150.
Tekiah. Shevarim. Teruah. Tekiah.
All you inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when a banner is lifted up on the mount, see it. And when the shofar is sounded, hear it. Adonai shall be revealed to them, and his arrows will go forth as lightning. Adonai shall sound the shofar. Our God and God of our fathers, sound the great shofar for our freedom. Set up the banner to gather our exiles. Lead us with celebration and with everlasting joy to Zion, your city, to Jerusalem, the place of your sanctuary, where we will offer that which is prescribed by your Torah. They shall be reminders to you before your God that I am Adonai your God. I read that in Numbers chapter 29, verse 1 and 2. For you hear the sound of the shofar, come on, and give heed to his call. There is none like you. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who in mercy hears the shofar sounds of your people Israel.
Tekiah. Shevarim. Teruah. Tekiah.
Awake, you sleepers, from your slumber, and rouse from your lethargy. Scrutinize your deeds, and return in repentance, and remember your Creator. Let each one of you forsake his evil path and his unworthy purpose, and return to God, so that he may have mercy upon you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav tzivanu kol lishmoa hashofar, which means, blessed are you, Adonai, our Elohim. Blessed Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shechehyanu v'kiyemanu v'higyanu hasman hazeh. The first one means, blessed are you, Adonai, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us instructions and commanded us to listen to the sound of the shofar.
Tekiah. Shevarim. Teruah. Tekiah. Tekiah. Shevarim. Teruah. Tekiah. Tekiah. Teruah. Tekiah. Teruah. Tekiah. 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 T